Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
Hello, my name's Tom Walker. Welcome to this podcast. Now, if you're a bit like me and you don't always feel terribly Christmassy, then I'm sure the mellifluous tones of the Northern Ireland singer Andrea Begley will get you in the mood. Andrea has just released a new record for Christmas, which includes a couple of carols, O Holy Night, which we were just listening to some of, and Away in a Manger. And guess what? Joining me on Zoom from Northern Ireland is Andrea Begley. Andrea, how are you?
Hello, Tom. I'm very well. What about yourself?
I could be worse, I suspect. It's been quite a year, hasn't it?
It certainly has. I think a lot of people are saying they won't look back on 2020 very fondly. It's certainly not been, I think, the year any of us expected when we sang Auld Lang Syne last New Year's Eve and thought, oh, great, we're into 2020 now. It just hasn't been the best of years. But here's hoping that 2021 will be a lot better.
How have you coped with the lockdown personally?
It's come sort of as a mixed blessing, really. In some senses, it's given me a lot more time to do things like trying to get back to playing the piano more and doing some more songwriting. In other ways, it's obviously had a massive impact, as I suppose it has for many people, on my, you know, independence and social life. I have a visual impairment myself, so getting out and about with social distance has really been a challenge. So I've actually ended up becoming a stereotypical teenager and moving back in with my parents, which has been good overall. Certainly it's interesting after spending so many years living on my own. And my sister's done something similar. She moved back from London for a good part of the lockdown as well. So it's been great being able to spend more time together. But I suppose on the flip side, it does leave me feeling a bit more limited in terms of getting out and about on my own, which as a visually impaired person is challenging at the best of times, but it's certainly been more challenging this year than ever.
Have you been told to turn the music down?
No, and I haven't been banished to my room yet, so I consider that to be an achievement this year. But certainly, no, we're quite good at sort of sharing the chores and stuff and pitching in here and there. So unfortunately, my mum had an accident and broke her arm and we were out for a walk a few weeks ago, so we're all having to do a bit more. I think everybody only realises the value of mum in the house whenever mum isn't operating at 100%. And while we always did a bit, we're certainly having to step up to the plate these days and do a bit more. So anyway, it doesn't do any harm. At least that means I'm not losing my independent skills in terms of cleaning and cooking.
And I guess when it comes to washing up, you really do literally have to step up to the plate.
Quite literally, yeah. Actually, I seem to have been designated chief dishwasher manager.
You mentioned songwriting. Now, there may be some people out there, I can't imagine who, but there may be some who don't know your music. So for them, tell us about your music, the kinds of things you do.
In terms of my music, Tom, really a lot of influences from an early age. Really, my main influences would have been traditional, Irish traditional and folk music. And then, of course, my aunt is Philomena Begley, who's very big on the Irish country music scene here. Music's always been a massive influence within the family. Even from, I suppose, we were all able to speak. We've, you know, done a party piece, as they say, and said a poem or sang a song or played an instrument, and it's always been there from the early days. But in my own case, I really became more involved in the music as I grew up. I obviously was always involved in school choirs and competitions locally, and then things really moved on to a bigger scale for me in my 20s when I took part in then the BBC Voice. Voice UK, and that was in 2013. And yeah, I made it all the way to the final and I actually won, much to my own surprise.
I want to ask you about The Voice shortly, yes. But before we talk about that, because obviously that's an enormous part of your life and projected you into the public limelight to a large extent. But what are your earliest memories of performing? Was it the case that the Begley family got together and all the children got up and did a turn? How did it work?
The Begley family, certainly any family gatherings or parties or events, you always got up and did your little piece. And there's some grainy footage from back in the day of me murdering the odd song back then. So no, it's great. It's actually lovely to be able to look back on it and just see. I mean, you know, from you were such a young age, it's quite obvious that we all had a real love of music, and just it was always just part of the fabric of the family, really, as it is for so many families.
What's your earliest memory of performing in front of the family?
Just singing at like birthday parties, and you know, like maybe your grandparents' birthday or something like that, or even at Christmas, maybe doing a little turn and a carol that you were learning at school. I would say certainly one of the things that we would have participated in at a very young age here was called the Fesh, which is like an Irish competition. And again, based around poetry, song and performance. And I remember singing a little, what was it, a song about three furry cats or something, I think it was called. And I couldn't have been any older than about 4 or 5. And there's video evidence to substantiate this song. And I remember standing on top of a table or something, maybe singing it. And you know, it was a real, you know, this was your stage, and maybe singing with a hairbrush or something. It was all, and at that age, you know, it really was just, it was all fun.
Did Philomena give you plenty of encouragement?
Oh, yes. You know, she's all, and even just in terms of, you know, what I've grown up around, you know, I remember when I was very, very young, I was only about 5 or 6, I had to go for surgery to Moorfields Eye Hospital in London. So obviously we travelled over from Northern Ireland and we had to stay back then for maybe a week or two. And in the process of being over there, my aunt was performing in London at the time. And we went along to watch her. And I do remember her getting me up on the stage at that very young age too. And, you know, it was all at that point a real novelty for me to see a member of my family performing to a big audience.
So as you progress then into adolescence and then obviously into early adulthood, tell me about how your music changed. What sort of taste did you develop and how did you develop your musical abilities?
I certainly did a lot of, as I say, local competitions. So a lot more Irish and traditional folk music through that route, both through the FLA and the Cultus, as it's called, which is a big All-Ireland festival here, which celebrates music and people play Irish music, as you know, all over the world, including over in England. There's lots of people who come over every year for the FLA.
Yeah.
And that's a great, it's just a real melting pot of music and influences. And, you know, I suppose really traditional and folk music in particular, it's very much representative of, you know, tradition and history and, you know, going back and for hundreds and hundreds of years. But actually, quite often now, younger people are taking it and putting a more modern twist on it. Travel, I suppose, had another influence too, you know, going to other parts of Europe, but being to South America as well. And you get to hear different sounds, different beats. And you probably mesh that all together. And you couldn't necessarily point to one particular, I couldn't anyway, one particular influence. There are strong influences, but there's definitely a big mix in there.
When did you realise that you weren't just the singer down the pub, the singer in the front room entertaining the family, and that you had a really special talent, a talent that was really going to take you much further afield?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, obviously I knew I could sing and I loved singing and I enjoyed it. And certainly I got recognition here at a local level with competitions and things like that. But I'm not sure that I really, even when I participated in The Voice, I went in on the basis of, I enjoy singing, I'll give this a go, we'll see what happens. I didn't really have an expectation that I was going to be, if you like, propelled into that level. And it kind of came as a bit of a surprise to me, as much as anything, and obviously a very welcome and great surprise. But yeah, I mean, I think for me, in terms of singing, my voice definitely has a certain flavour to it that I suppose I would say is quite authentic, in that I don't tend to do a lot of, I can't even think of the word, ornamentation or anything particularly fancy with my voice. And I think that for me has been something I've always held on to.
You mentioned there the purity of your voice. I think we should hear one of the carols that you've recorded. And I don't know how you feel, but how about O Holy Night? We played it at the top of the podcast, and we could play it in its entirety now, if you're up for that.
Oh, that would be lovely. Yeah, thank you very much.
This then is O Holy Night by Andrea Begley.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Our dear Saviour's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, while yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Was then O Holy Night, performed by Andrea Begley. I'm pleased to say she's still here, she's not run off. You're looking forward to Christmas, Andrea?
I absolutely love Christmas, Tom. It's just one of my favourite times of the year, and even COVID-19 isn't going to ruin Christmas for me this year. I just always enjoy celebrating Christmas, and even if it's not going to be the same as normal, I'm still going to make the best out of it. So we've got all the decorations up. I've got the house absolutely full of cinnamon smell because I love the smell of cinnamon and it always makes me think of Christmas. I normally do have quite a quiet family Christmas anyway. Usually as a musician, the run up to Christmas is busy, busy, busy with Christmas concerts and events. And even this year, despite the restrictions, I'm finding that there's so much going on with virtual events. So I've been involved in several virtual Christmas sing-alongs or events for charities and different things in my local parish. So I haven't been short of festive fun to get involved in, which is great. And it just goes to show that people are making the best out of it.
Many people will remember you winning The Voice in 2013. I mean, I've watched it a couple of times and it is just amazing how you stayed so calm as we awaited the announcement. I mean, just give us a general idea of what it was like to appear in such a high-profile television programme.
Well, it was just surreal, I think. It's hard to believe 7 years now on that it even really happened. It just, I can't even believe it happened either. It swept me up in a real whirlwind at the time. And when I initially put my name in to do the show, I didn't really have a huge amount of expectation of getting very far in it. It certainly was beyond all my wildest expectations that I'd get the final, and I never even considered for a second that I could win it. So when Holly Willoughby called out my name, I was, I think, probably shocked would be the word. And it was great. I really enjoyed it. I had a great time on the show. Myself and my sister Hannah, she sort of came along as my guide and assisted me on the programme and stuff. And we had a great time. We had a lovely time and we made good friends. And beyond that, after the show, I had some fabulous opportunities to perform on Strictly, performed in Windsor Castle, went to Beijing to perform. So it's certainly been a great, and was a great experience at the time.
When you first put your name in for the competition, how far did you expect to get? Did you have any ideas really?
Absolutely none. And even putting my name into the show itself, it wasn't myself who initially even thought about it. I had been performing with a friend of mine who was at the time teaching me how to play guitar, and one of our sort of mutual friends who ran one of the open mics in Belfast was approached by the BBC team because they were really, I suppose, going out and, you know, looking at in local venues across the whole of the UK and to find out, you know, where the talent was and what kind of people might be interested in applying. And my friend suggested, well, you know, Andrea would be suitable for that. You know, she definitely should give it a go. And when they initially mentioned it to me, I sort of thought, oh, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's a great programme. And I'm, you know, one thing that did sort of make me think, it's more about music than, say, some of the other shows. You know, the fact that it's based around your singing voice as opposed to what you look like. Yeah. And that did make me, I think that probably pushed me over the line to say, oh, maybe I should give it a wee try. But I really, really had zero expectation beyond that. In fact, so much so that I turned up, not intentionally, I misread the email. I turned up 12 hours late to the audition. It turned out the audition time, it had asked you to be there for 8:30 in the morning to wait. And I had read it and thought it was 8:30 in the evening. And I went into the hotel where the staff or the BBC folks were having their, the auditions. And they were literally walking out of the room as I came in. And looking to go, obviously, after a long day listening to people singing, they were off to have some dinner. And I just thought, oh, well, look, sorry, I misread the email. Sure, look, it just didn't work out. Don't worry about it. Clearly, it just isn't meant to be. But they were very, you know, forgiving and encouraging. And they said, oh, look, you know, we're not in a rush. We'll we'll take it, we can listen to one more person. And they took me into the room and very, very quick audition, had a quick word with me. And then I sort of thought, well, that's the end of that. It was kind of them to, you know, allow me to do the audition, even though I'm sure it'll count for nothing. And much to my shock and surprise, a few weeks later, they contacted me to ask me to come to London to do a proper audition and perform again. So I think that probably goes to show it's just a twist of fate that was obviously meant to happen.
It was meant to be, wasn't it?
Well, certainly if it... Either that or I really, really need to get myself a new clock. but it really was, a strange and just a meant to be sort of experience, I guess.
Yeah. You had the choice to work either with Tom Jones or Danny O'Donoghue from the script. You chose Danny O'Donoghue. What tips and advice did he give you?
Well, you're right. It was a hard choice between two very different singers, but two very talented musicians in their own right. You know, Tom is just a legend in his own lifetime. Another Tom who's a legend in his own lifetime. and then, of course, Danny with the script, you know. And I suppose, actually, what Danny really did for me was give me a bit of confidence and belief that I could, you know, I could do this. I remember he rang me up. They were performing at a show in Belfast a few months before the Voice went out live on TV, and he said, you know, are you coming down to the gig tonight? And I said, yeah, I am. And he said, well, look, make sure you call round the after party, because it'll want a word with you. And we met there and just really sat in the bar of the hotel. And it was really just a few people, including himself, myself, the rest of the band, and a few of their team. And, you know, he just really spoke to me, and I had a few friends with me, and it was very much relaxed. And we talked about the show, talked about what, you know, what kind of songs I might want to sing on the show, what my interests were. He actually got me to play one of my own songs for him in the bar, because he wanted to hear what my songwriting was like, and he was very, very complimentary about it. And actually, after the program, worked with me on that song and kind of made it a bit more, I suppose, commercial in terms of the sound, which was good, because obviously that was bringing in his influence and his learning that he's had over so many years in the industry.
When you turned up for the final, obviously you wouldn't have known, you'd have had no clue as to whether you were actually going to win. How nervous were you as you performed? And then tell me about that moment when the announcement was made. Just what was going through your head, if anything?
Well, nervous would... I don't even know if nervous covers it. I think as the weeks went on, I did get a little bit more confidence from each performance. And it, in one sense, it probably sunk in with me that, look, I'm here now. And in ways, it didn't really, you know, provided I was happy with my performance, getting to the final for me was an achievement. And beyond that, I hadn't really, I hadn't thought about it at all. I just assumed I'd be going to the show that night, doing the best I could, walking away at the end of it thinking, well, I've given it a good go and I've enjoyed the experience. I'll go and enjoy the after party, and tomorrow I'll pack my suitcase and move out of London back to Northern Ireland. I remember on the final day, because as you know, with anything to do with TV filming, you're there from so early in the morning. So, you know, maybe the show went out at like 7 or 8 o'clock that night, and we had been in the studio from maybe 8 that morning. And it was just exhausting. And I remember thinking, I just hope I can hold this together in terms of energy. I also went to Danny's dressing room just before the show went on, and I remember he was like, look, he takes the special like hot lemon drink with ginger and something else in it before he performs, and he says it always gives him a little, you know, sort of a help up whenever he's going on the stage, and he made me one of those, and it was great actually, because I started to feel like I was getting a bit of a cold at the time, and it really just helped settle me in so many ways. And then I went on, did my performances, and next thing we got to the final announcement. And really, as I say, I just didn't at all expect my name to come out. And I was shocked. I really was. It took me quite some time to take it in. And it was all very, very sudden afterwards. You were just sort of rushed away, get ready to go to the after party, get ready the next day to do all the press interviews. And you really didn't have time to think about it either. I just remember at the end of the show, people like hugging me and saying, oh, congratulations. And next thing, somebody shoved a mic in my hand and I had to sing My Immortal again at the end. And like, literally, I don't even know how I got a sentence out, because I just was so still in such surprise. I could hardly believe this was even happening. But yeah, no, it was mad. And it was a crazy night and a crazy experience. But yeah, cannot believe that it happened, even 7 years down the line.
What are your future plans in music? What are you hoping to do over the next couple of years?
Music is a massive part of my life, and it always, always will be. And I love it. I do. And I get a lot out of it, just even in terms of the expression of writing songs. There's something wonderful about being able to create something just from a couple of chords and a few lyrics that you put together and record in a studio, and it becomes almost like your baby. And it feels great. It's such a sense of fulfillment from it, even if it never goes anywhere. It's just a great sense of fulfillment to have that expression.
What advice finally would you have for not just visually impaired people, but anyone, you know, who's got a good voice, can really sing? I mean, I'm not just talking about people like me who like to sing in the bathroom. I'm talking about proper singers. Like,
yeah. But maybe we have to hear you. Have to hear your singing, Tom. I haven't heard your singing yet.
You don't want to. Look, let me tell you, I can just about keep a tune on a good day. I think I wouldn't come anywhere near comparing myself with you, let me tell you.
Maybe we'll put in for a duet in 2021.
I think there are many people dreading that prospect. You sound great. You would sound great. I would sound terrible. But what advice would you have to people who thinking, you know, I'd like to make it in the music business? What would you say to them?
You've definitely got to have a thick skin. And that goes for a lot of, it doesn't just go for being a musician, but a thick skin, work incredibly hard, and be realistic as well about what, you know, you're working in a very, very busy market, and you've got to make yourself stand out from the crowd.
Well, it is Christmas. We have been a bit serious, but let's think about Christmas Day. Will you be doing a song for the family?
I think I will give the family a break. I think the family would probably feel that they would have a much nicer Christmas if they didn't happen to listen to me, probably, because especially this year, they've had quite a lot of Andrea Begley. I do joke with them quite regularly that you know, they should count themselves privileged, because, you know, not everybody gets to have a live-in singer performing for them every day of the week. And they're like, yeah, that's all well and good, but not at 8 o'clock in the morning or at midnight when I'm trying to get to sleep.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a very pleasant Christmas, a really lovely time with your family. And, you know, thanks very much for your time today. I imagine you've probably got a little message for your fans.
Main message to all my fans out there, and hopefully to some new listeners as well, is I hope that you have a very happy and peaceful Christmas. I know it's not what any of us planned for our 2020 Christmas, but hopefully there's brighter days ahead in 2021. And I wish you a lot of prosperity and health and happiness for 2021 as well.
And that goes for me too. Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Andrea Begley. We're going to finish off with a very well-known carol, which Andrea's recorded. It's Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep. need.